Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 38, on the great day of Pentecost. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. It's amazing to think how strong and deep a parent's love for his or her child can be. Sometimes we hear some amazing stories of things that a mom or dad is willing to do for the sake of a child. We hear about parents undergoing surgery to give up a very important organ in order to help save one of their children. We hear about heroic feats sometimes of a mom or dad risking their own life, possibly even having themselves be killed in some way just to save a child. And maybe in your own life and background, your mom or dad has made some great sacrifices for you. I know as a child, I didn't always fully appreciate how deep many of those sacrifices were that my parents made for me and for my future, and to receive, for instance, a Christian education until I myself became a parent. Where does this strong and intense and deep and powerful love for a child, where does that come from? Did it crawl out of the swamps in the evolutionary process? Did it possibly get voted on by Congress? Was there a group of parents that got together and decided that they were going to work as an organization to increase and intensify this in some way? Did it somehow happen through the educational process and the great enlightenment of men through academia? This natural instinct of loving your child and wanting what's best for your son or daughter is something that is instilled in humanity from nature. Even people that don't care about God, even atheists, have this love for their children and are concerned about their children and want to take care of them. This is something that is a reflection, a tiny reflection, of the great and powerful, intense love that God has for the children that he has created. It's a tiny little reflection left, even in us fallen human beings, of that intense, immense, wonderful, powerful, sacrificing love that God has in the heavens for us. And if human parents, even human parents who could care less about God, if human, sinful, fallen parents like me in this world can love their children intensely and want what's best for them and so on and work to make that happen, if that's possible inside of sinful, weak human beings like us in this world, just think how truly powerful and rich and deep this love God must have in his holy heart toward humanity. Christmas is all about that powerful love of God coming into the world, found and capsulized, you might say, encapsulated in the great incarnation of his Son, the great Christmas gift. Epiphany is the Gentile Christmas, this period of the church year when we celebrate what that Christmas means for us who were not of Jewish descent. God had used them as his chosen people, and yet through them even went and brought this wonderful message to all nations and to all people. And this powerful love of God comes rushing through in our text on this great day of Pentecost from the mouth of Peter out into the hearts of these individuals who were listening. We're told in the audience that day there were God-fearing Jews from every nation of the world, and they took this powerful message of God's love in Christ back to their homes and communities, established little congregations, and made sure that others in their community, even the non-Jewish people, began hearing this wonderful love of God in Christ. And ultimately, you and I, no matter what our national origin or descent, ultimately you and I can somehow find connection back to that great day of Pentecost. back to this great charge to bring the message of God's love in Christ to all people. The Christmas gospel is all about the fact that this powerful love of God has no boundaries. It has no barriers. God puts no qualifications or conditions that have to be met before you can get it. He simply says, come and receive the present. And in order that you and I don't miss it, the fact that this epiphany, this manifestation of God's love in Christ, was meant just for you personally in your life and to your heart and to your conscience, just like mine, that struggles with sin and is sometimes afraid of God and afraid of judgment, just to make sure that you and I don't miss the personal nature of Christmas, listen again to the words of our text. The promise, Peter said to the crowd, the promise is to you and to your children, and then here's your name, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Yes, Christmas has a universal nature to it, the universal love and grace of God toward fallen mankind, but don't you dare miss the personal nature of that love that God has brought to you even now through my sinful mouth today. Peter said to the crowd that day, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And when this happens, he says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's faith in Christ, holding on to him alone for our hope of heaven. For he goes on, the promise is to you and to your children. Nobody is to be left out. Not a single soul is to be left out. Consider how important children are to human parents, but even greater than that, consider how important children are to God. It's amazing. If you take out a biblical concordance that shows you how frequently words are used, look up the words like children, child, son, daughter. Look those up in a concordance. It goes on for pages. That's how God likes to talk about how he looks at humanity. How does Jesus have us pray to this great God in the heavens? Our Father who art in heaven. Children are so important to God. They are on his heart. How sad it is that many denominations that today claim the name Christian limit God's grace in Christ and even the precious gift of the waters of baptism by making an age qualification until someone is capable of receiving that. Think how many opportunities God had in Scripture to limit baptism, to limit his grace in Christ. Think how many words he chose to use to express his love, how frequently he could have, if he wanted, to limit by an age that very thing, that very gracious means of grace, and yet he chose not to do so. He always uses words like all nations, every one of you, all people. Can you imagine a parent, a Christian parent, who's now come to faith? Can you imagine a parent in the crowd that day hearing this wonderful proclamation about Christ, getting their own Christmas present, if you will, not wanting to just take their child and rush to the front of the line to be baptized? I imagine people that day standing in line and holding their children up before God, before themselves, to receive the gracious water of life. And is it any wonder that as that same powerful love was passed on in the history of the church and finally reached my mom and dad, is it any wonder that the number one concern on their mind and heart the day I was born is that I would get my Christmas present, is that I would get connected to my Jesus, to my Savior, in the waters of baptism? The love of God has come down through the ages, through the church, through his precious means of grace, and it has reached you today. Because of that, you have full pardon of your sins, and you have heaven as sure as I am standing in front of you right now. Oh, rejoice, ye Christians, loudly. Amen.